Well, you may or may not know that I spent a vast majority of my working life in the banking industry. No booing, please. And one of those buzz phrases that circulated around the industry and workplaces in general was risk assessment. Anybody ever had to do risk assessment? Yeah, you know what I mean. So what we might firstly ask, and I'm going to get these people to explain, no I'm not. What is risk assessment? Risk assessment consists of three elements. Firstly, we have the threat. Things that can and invariably do go wrong. Threats are ever present. Secondly, we have vulnerability. How vulnerable, how exposed are we to that threat? And lastly, controls. And the controls that are put in place are countermeasures to mitigate the threats. Got it all? You'll be asked about this afterwards. But it's not just industry that is preoccupied with risk. For we in the church are constantly being asked to carry out risk assessments to mitigate many of the threats we face these days. Let's take health and safety. Consider the threat of someone having an accident in church. An electrical cable running across the floor, for instance. That's the threat. The vulnerability is that someone is likely to trip over it. Then we have the countermeasure. Well, in the very least, we can cover the cable with a suitable rubber covering, or we can run the cable where nobody can actually trip over it. And the same principles apply to safeguarding in the church, the safeguarding of children and vulnerable adults. These regulations are not there just to give us more work to do, although it does sometimes seem like it, but they are there as a necessity. They have been designed for protection. This morning, then, in our passage from Matthew, we heard about three risk takers. But these risk takers seem to have ignored the risk process. Our primary risk taker is Jesus. Now, we have little knowledge of his life before his ministry, but many have assumed that he was a carpenter like his father, Joseph. A reasonably safe career, as long as the tools are handled and stored correctly. I would imagine health and safety would have had a field day back then. However, Jesus is about to start a new job. For God has sent him on a mission to carry out God's vision of bringing the kingdom to earth through Jesus' ministry of teaching, preaching, and healing. Now that's a pretty radical change. What a huge risk he took, leaving the safety and security of his home to undertake God's mission in the world. And it was a mission fraught with all kinds of dangers, all kinds of risks and all kinds of challenges. But it was a mission which Jesus obediently undertook. So his first task is a recruit for co-workers. So he sets out his campaign. He needs people to train. People who will watch what he does. Sitting with Nelly, it's called in industry. Try and understand who Jesus is and what he is about. And eventually carry out God's mission themselves. What he actually needs is fellow risk takers. So where does Jesus turn? If we think about it, the safest option would have been the scribes and the Pharisees, who, after all, they would seem the appropriate people. They knew about God. They knew about God's laws. But no. He takes a risk, and he turns to two ordinary people, Peter and Andrew. Two small businessmen who are earning an honest crust by fishing on the lake. And yet along comes this man and says to these two, come and follow me. Come and join a different company, a visionary company that wants to bring peace and justice to the earth. He asks them to take that risk, to start a new job and a new life, to give up the security of their previous work and join him in his ministry. And do you know what's amazing? They did. So why did they put aside the safety and security of their existing jobs and take that risk? And you know, folks, that's the same question we face today, isn't it? Why do people give up promising careers to become preachers? Why do people give up a high income to lead and teach a church? Why do people put aside some of their remarkable gifts in order to study theology and be ordained? Why do Christians in all walks of life regularly give up lifestyles and practices that are attractive and lucrative in order to maintain honesty, integrity, faith, hope, and love? Perhaps one of the answers is Jesus himself and the astonishing magnetism of his presence and personality. And of course, most importantly, the work he is undertaking and the work today we are asked to undertake for God. And we're in a fortunate position, aren't we? We can read about and come to understand what God, through Jesus, is asking of us. We have the benefit of history and the benefit of the Gospels. At least those changing careers, in answer to a call, have an idea of the risk they are undertaking. Unlike those first disciples over 2,000 years ago, they put their trust and their love and their fellowship with Jesus, and they followed him. So the question arises, are we prepared to take risks? Are we prepared to make dramatic changes to our lives when we hear the call and respond? A call that can come slowly, starting as a faint murmur and growing until we can no longer ignore it or resist it. Or a call that can be sudden and dramatic, as Jesus' call to Peter and Andrew. By answering that call, folks, we may need to take some of the greatest risks of our lives, for we will certainly be moved out of our comfort zones and into areas where we do become vulnerable. We won't necessarily know where it is all going to lead. And perhaps some of us might not be quite so eager if we did. All we know is we'll be catching people now, and we'll be catching them in nets of love and care and compassion. And of course, with Jesus by our side. Do we take the risk, folks? As I said, unlike Peter and Andrew, we have an idea of what it involves. We have an idea of how the people in question will feel about our mission, our new job. And it's not an easy task, is it? Because the church, through its own workings, and looking after those in the marginalised in society, the poor and the needy, has, in so many cases, inadvertently marginalised itself from the rest of society. The thing we face, the quest that comes to us, is how do we put the church back into the centre of the community? Perhaps we need to think, who are the needy and the poor? Not just those who are materially needy and poor, but those who are spiritually needy and poor. That's a sermon for next week, by the way. Now, Jesus, the risk taker, starts by basing himself in Capernaum in Galilee. Now, Capernaum was a known haunt for, if we put this politely, hotheads. We know a bit about the area around Capernaum because Josephus, a Jewish historian at about the time of Christ, was the governor there. He tells us that the land was intensively farmed by a mixture of Jews and Gentiles, and that they showed little love for Herod and none at all for Rome. So Jesus is out there in this diverse community, offering the people the chance to radically change their lives. A change that for many will not affect the work they do, but the way they do it, through their living, through their trading practices, through the way they treat each other. That was certainly taking a risk on his part. As I've already said, risk is an important part of life. It is something we have to come to terms with. We all have to take risks of one kind or another. And here we need to differentiate. Let me diverse a minute and tell you about my grandson. The older one this time. Logan is very active. He does all sorts of things and scouts and goes climbing trees and what's that horrible thing he does? Parkour. I really don't want to even think about that, but it's some sort of mixture of climbing up walls and all sorts of things. Logan goes out one day and you think, yeah, he's fine. He's going to be over the park, climbing trees, doing all sorts of weird and wonderful things. He's very energetic and very athletic. On his way back home from doing all this stuff, he trips over a fence that's about that high off the ground. About that high off the ground. He trips over it. Lands on the curb, dislocates his elbow. Think of the risks he'd gone through, climbing trees, up walls and all this thing, but yet falls over a small fence. He hadn't evaluated the risk. Let's say, I can get over that. Oops. Yes, I was reminded of somebody similar, but I wasn't going to ruin your day. Anyway, risk evaluation. So I said, there are lots of sorts of risks. There are the more mundane risks that we take. Whether to go to a new restaurant for a meal, or to go out without an umbrella. Not a wise event in this country. And there are other risks. As I mentioned, my grandson, the sort of extreme sports enthusiast. I've got another couple of relatives that do something. Oh, don't go there. They run over fields and sorts of things. And that's called Spartan racing. Yeah. Where did all this come from? Just look at me. I wasn't going to bring you into the conversation this morning, dear. I'm wrong if I do, and I'm right. That's not
another risk.
Yeah. No, you know I'd answer that another day. Anyway, the point I'm getting to is that we do face risks, known, unknown. Generally, we're able to face them and say, yeah, I can do that, I can't do that. But other times, we don't. In fact, a recent study has shown, and this was from child psychologists, as you might imagine, they've recently pointed out that the dangers of removing all risks from childhood are worse than leaving them there. For they say, if we never confront risk, then we are not able to assess it. So do we allow children to confront risk? Logan's 11, yeah, I suppose so. So then we come to the question, do we live in a society which is so risk averse, it is a danger of damaging its future? And we can follow that on. Ask the next, where do the next generation of interpreters, I'm not with it, it's where you come from. Where will the next generation of missionaries come from? Where will the next generation of ministers and priests come from? Are people willing to take the risk? We face this question, as I said, of the churches being marginalised by looking after the needy, by looking after the poor, and there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. But can we do better? Are we prepared? Let's ask ourselves, rather than waiting for people to come into our churches, might we do better to take the risk by going outside our churches to where the people really are? That's what Jesus did. Do we risk speaking out against how businesses and corporations act in the world today? Exploitation of workers, exploitation of people. Not much of a risk if we are on the outside, but what then? Let me ask you, if you work for that company, do we risk criticising those ethics? Are we prepared to take the risk and ask people of all ages why they do not come to church? And on hearing the answers, and the answers usually are very interesting, are we prepared to take the risk and change the church? As church, then, we need to meet people where they are, not where we think they should be. Talking then of God's mission, each denomination has its own ideas. The URC has... silent now. Vision...
2020.
Yeah. Vision for Life, yes. And Vision 20, and way back in 2010. We introduced Vision 2020. Now, Vision 2020 asks the question, in 10 years' time, will we have made a difference? We're in 2020. For the sake of the world, for the sake of the church, and for God, will we have made a difference? I'll leave you to think about it. It's now 10 years on. It's 2020. Have we made a difference? Yes, I see some downward-looking faces. Talking about mission and doing mission are two different things. Other denominations have their own insight into carrying out God's mission in the world today. However, we all make the fundamental point that our calling invites us to take a chance, to risk the way of Jesus. But, oh, wait a minute, what about our security, we might ask ourselves? And that, folks, can be a real stumbling block. We love our security. It takes real courage and real commitment to break that addiction. Do we have that courage and commitment to change? You know, faith is often looked upon as a security. Perhaps we need to turn that concept upside down and see faith as risk-taking, providing us with the opportunity and the courage to break out of old routines. These are just some of the questions that the church in the world faces today. And it is only if we act in unity. For as we heard Paul say, we are followers of Christ. We are not followers of denominations or of church leaders. We are followers of Christ. The real challenge is for the church, for all denominations, to act in unison and speak up, making our united voices heard. For in business terms, if you think about it, folks, we know our target audience. We know the objective. Only in unison can we help bring about peace and justice and joy in the world. Only by speaking with one voice will people listen. Only by taking those risks together will we move forward, guided by the Holy Spirit. Just as Jesus gave his disciples risky tasks, he gives us risky tasks of teaching, proclaiming, and caring. So two final questions this morning. Let's ask ourselves, what is Jesus calling us to do? And are we willing to risk all? And for some that are called, that includes the ultimate sacrifice. And just what would it take? What could and should Jesus' followers be doing today that would send people off with the word that something new is happening and that everybody should come quickly? Perhaps we need a change of mindset from church focus to Christ focus by following Jesus to see what church forms around him. What then of security? Well, we've spoken all about these risks we're going to take. We are safe, though. We are safe in the knowledge that every step of the way, Jesus is with us, guiding, encouraging, and upholding us. Amen.